Just to partially review what we discussed last time, we had first the sugya of chafar ufasach umasar l'rabim, someone who digs a pit and then gives it over to the tzibur. We had a little bit of discussion of how exactly do you do that? Do you just sort of tell some people? Do you need to give them the cover or the shovel or the bucket or something like that? And we also saw the question of whether you need to intend originally when you dig this public well that it be for the public good before you give it over. And we discussed a little bit about how it's somewhat of a double-edged sword. On the one hand, it's a public good that they now have the ability to collect rainwater and use it, but it's also dangerous, which is why it's not so simple that you can just give it over. Certainly, according to some Rishonim, it's a more complicated process. Then we saw this story with Nechunya Chofer Shichin, Nechunya the pit digger, who the Mishnah says he did this, he kept this halacha, he would dig pits and give them over to the tzibur, and the Gemara seems to think this is very good. Kiyem zeh halacha zo, he kept this halacha, only this halacha? No, even this halacha, he kept the whole Torah, he even kept the halacha of digging pits and giving it to the tzibur, and then we hear a story about his daughter, who fell into a big pit, maybe one that he dug even. They tell Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, he says for the first 2 hours, he says she's still okay. And then after the third hour, he says she's out. And in fact, that was the case. Who took her out? She says, Zachar shel rechelim nizdamin li, v'zakin echad manhigo. A ram along with an old man who took me out. And then they asked Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, who had predicted this, are you a Navi? He said, I'm not a Navi, but I know that davar she'oso tzadik mitztayer bo, yikashel bo zaro. How could it be that something that this tzadik takes such great pains in building these pits, these wells for the public good, how could it be that his own descendants would stumble regarding that? Rav Acha then complicates the picture and says, even so, despite this theological idea, his son actually died of thirst. He dehydrated, which, you know, if pits are supposed to provide water for drinking, that is in some way cuts against what we just said, and we'll talk about how to resolve that in a bit. And then there were a series of drashos as to why Hashem is more strict with those who are close to Him. Usaviva nisara me'od kel na'aratz besod kadoshim rabba. Then Hashem is more strict with those closer to Him. We then saw a drasha. Whoever says the Kadosh Baruch Hu is a vatra, and Hashem gives up on things, isn't so makbid, yivasru chayav. It's not a good thing that his own life would be sort of not a concern with that. And finally, we had a drasha of erech apayim. That means Hashem is erech apayim both to tzaddikim and rishayim. So we're going to get into some of those theological drashos a little bit further. But before we go there, there's more to do on the Nechunya story. So one thing we started figuring out last time is who exactly saved this girl, Nechunya's daughter, when she was trapped in the well. Right? The Gemara says, the story says, it's an old man and a ram. What is that? And we saw Rashi. Rashi says, Zachar shel rechelim is Elo shel Yitzchak, the ram from Yitzchak, from the story of the Akedah. And the Zakin is Avram. So he's clearly referring to the story of the Akedah. We saw a few theories as to why the Akedah matters. The Maharsha says, in general, people, the Akedah is a schus for Klal Yisrael to save them from Puranus. And we saw the Aruch Haner emphasizes the Medrash in the story that Avram was trying to get to the place of the Akedah, and the Satan made water appear, and he was almost drowning in the water. So maybe that's a connection, the drowning piece. And we also saw this idea of the Tmura, the need, maybe the ram represents a need for someone to replace her. And we even saw one Acharon say maybe that's the brother, her brother, who ended up dying, in some ways replaced her, which doesn't necessarily make Nechunya happy, but is one way of thinking about the story, which really ties it in a deep way to the Akedah. And then we suggested maybe there's a closer parallel even than that to the Akedah, in that davar shenitzdar bo oso tzadik yikashel bo zaro, that could actually be used to refer to Yitzchak dying at the Akedah. How could it be Avram, following Hashem's word, following, listening to Hashem, following the Torah, that would lead to Yitzchak dying, Yikashel bo zaro, Avram zera, ki v'yitzchak yikari lecha zara, would be destroyed. And maybe because Avram was saved from that at the time, obviously the Malach said don't kill Yitzchak, and maybe Avram sort of became the patron saint, so to speak, of those whose children are endangered on account of their righteous actions. And it's Avram's job to go around saving people when their children are in distress on account of their religious actions, that Avram is in place to save her. So that's one approach to this whole story. Who saved her? Avram and the ram. Fascinating Rashi. And maybe it's really the Gemara's idea, because what else is this? Zachar shel Rechelim. Tosfos points us in a very different direction. So look at Tosfos Dirasil Davar here on the bottom of Nunam Abez, the Tosfos. And we're not going to read the beginning of Tosfos. We'll get to that soon. But just look at the last eight words. Birushalmi. He quotes the Yerushalmi, which is not going to be a direct quote, but it's close enough, and we'll see the Yerushalmi. We'll figure it out ourselves. Mala bitmus Rabbi Chanina nizdaminla. Who saved her? It wasn't Avram Avinu. It was a malach, and not any malach, a malach appearing in the form of Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, who was the rabbi who they had come to and said, my daughter's trapped, please help. And he said, she's going to make it. And in the end, she did make it. The malach that saved her looked like Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. So what is going on here? This seems like a totally different story. It's a totally different concept of how this miracle happened. So let's look at the Yerushalmi, and at the bottom of page 2 of the handout, source 15. The Yerushalmi that Tosfos quotes tells us this story. It's actually going to mention a malach in the form of a different rabbi, but those rabbis we'll see will be more or less interchangeable. So let's read the Yerushalmi. And this Yerushalmi is on the Gemara. It's in the Gemara Shkalim. We saw last time the Mishnah in Shkalim mentioned a bunch of different jobs in the Mikdash. One of the jobs was Nechunya. What's the exact line? Nechunya Chofer Shichin. That was his job. He was in charge of digging pits for people coming up to Yerushalayim for Aliyah L'Regel. And fine. So on that Gemara, we talk about what exactly he did. So this is the second line on source 15, about a bit more than halfway down. Nechunya Chofer Shichin. Why is he called Chofer Shichin? Shaya Chofer Shichin Umaros. That's what he would do. He would dig pits and ditches. The Havayada Haidan Kaif Mikur Maya Vahidan Kaif Isbe Shrav Ruve the Ad Mati Hain Shrav Ruvise Matye. He was in charge of digging. He would know which areas had cold water, which areas had hot water, how deep the hot water went. He was expert in digging wells and knowing where the water was. Okay, that was his job. Amar Rabbi Acha Umes Bino Batsama. He was in charge of water, but his son died of thirst. Sounds familiar, right? Amar Rabbi Chanina, Manda Amar Darchmana Vatran Yisvatrun Bnei Meoy. If you think Hashem is a Vatran, doesn't really mind the people do Averos, your own intestines will be given up on, which I think implies death in a bit of a vivid way. Ella Marich Ruche, but Hashem is a Erech Ruch, does have length to his wind, meaning his anger. It's like Erech Apayim. Just like we saw in the Bavli. It's the idea that Hashem is extra stringent with those close to him. The other Pasuk our Gemara had, Mora'o al Krovav, God's fear is upon those who are close to him. Yoser men arachokim, more than God's fear being apparent on those far away. From Chagav Hashem Rishmo Bar Nachman. Now he tells a different story. Maaseh bechassid echad. There's a story about a certain chassid. We're not told his name. Shaya chofer boros shichun ma'aros la'ovrim v'la'shavim. He would dig pits and ditches and all these things for people passing by for water. Pam achas haisa bito averes lihinase. One time his daughter was on the way, actually, to get married, of all things. Ushtafa nahar, and she got washed away by a river. V'havim ko ama alalim l'gabe. Everyone was coming in to him, to his house, Bayan Menachamte. They were trying to console him that his daughter was apparently swept away by this river and apparently died. Vilo kivel aloi Menachamta, Misnachma. He didn't accept Tanchum, he didn't accept consolation from them. Presumably, we might understand, as we'll see, the daughter was still alive. Right? There's the Rashi about Yosef, right? That if someone's still alive, you don't have closure, you can't get over it because it's not over. So maybe that's what's going on. All Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair ligabe. Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair is known throughout many Gemaras as doing a lot of miracles, a miracle worker. Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair goes in to the Shiva house, b'ayim menachamte. He wants to be menachem. Below kibbol b'ayim misnachma. He didn't accept tanchumin. Amar lon dein hainu chasidechon. This is your chasid. You say he's so frum. He's not accepting Hashem's judgment. right? He's resisting the reality that Hashem imposed on him. Amrin le, Rebbe, kach v'kach haya osev, kach v'kach ira. It's not a normal situation. You did all these wonderful things, and this terrible tragedy happened. This is the people in the Shiva house to Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair. Nechunya is on the side somewhere. He's not in the action here. But this is right. This is what the Amrin Lay, the people in the house, said to Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair.
He criticized the Abel that he won't accept.
Yeah. And so then they respond, but he's such a good guy and such a terrible thing happened to him. So now Pinchas ben Yair responds, Amar, Efsher Shayim Mechabit is Boro b'mayim, v'hu mekapcho b'mayim. Could it be that this figure, this person, this Chassid Echad, honors Hashem with water by helping people out, and Hashem punishes him with water through the daughter being carried away? Miad nafla havara be'ir. There, all of a sudden, there was this big echoing sound in the city. There's a big boom. Bas bito shaloso ish, and she shows up. She shows up in the city. How did it happen? How did the miracle happen? Is the amrin besuksa is aris. Some people say, most people translate this as meaning a suksa, like a little hut, a sukkah, a hut or a branch picked her up, meaning she like grabbed onto a branch. I didn't see anyone say this, but I see no reason why not to translate this as she miraculously woke up in a hut somewhere, right? Because isaris also means to wake up, right? So maybe it means she just woke up in a sukkah. She woke up in a hut totally miraculously. Maybe that's what it means. V'ista amrin, some say, malach yarad kidmus Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair v'hitzila. A malach came down in the form of Pinchas ben Yair and saved her. And that's how she was saved. So we're going to analyze this all in a second. But this is what Tosfos is referring to, presumably, when he says, Yerushalmi says it was Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa who appeared to her. It's a different name, but it's the same character. Just like Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair is a miracle worker, so is Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. They even appear in a Gemara together as playing the same sort of role. So whoever it was that was at the Shiva house or at the davening house, as the case may be in the two stories, Rabbi Chanina or Rabbi Pinchas, the malach who saved her, was in his image. So we'll analyze that in a second, but first there were a couple of hands. One and two. Yeah.
One thing that I'm looking at from this perspective is a twisted form of neither connected to either. Here's somebody who's doing something very nice, and maybe it usually is the converse. If you've done something wrong, you get it back in space or the same building. But here it's just kind of a,
well, it's like a defensive version of meaning connected mita. Meaning, even if, right, there's one thing that someone who does something bad a certain way gets punished with that thing. Here, someone who does something good a certain way cannot get punished by that thing. So I don't know if that's twisted as much as protective, defensive, right? It couldn't possibly be punished by water because he did so much good with water. Just like in our Gemara, similar. Davar she nistar ba osot tzadik kikashu bo zaro, the pits. He did so much work at the pit. How could his daughter be punished? A bit similar idea, a very similar idea, and yeah, it's some equivalent or something similar to Mita Kenei Mita. Bernie.
Yeah.
Isn't that all over Tanakh? I mean, that's... No?
You can have an angel appearing to people, but I don't think that there are often angels that look like a person, and they're... where else do you have...
Eishes Manoah.
What?
Eishes Manoah. I don't think it's that uncommon. Yeah. I think there's a handful of stories in Tanakh where people don't recognize the Malachim. I mean, the Malach who fought with Yaakov, even, right? So I don't see so much Avram in the Yerushalmi. I'd have to think the Yerushalmi is in a very different direction from Rashi, at least Rashi's take on the Bavli. Did you see other indications of Avram?
So somehow there's all these things
Yeah, I mean, I think Rashi on the Bavli certainly goes in that direction, 100%. We'll talk about the Yerushalmi in a minute, but I don't really see it goes out of its way. It doesn't mention even a zaken or a ram. I mean, it's just an angel. Like, there's a lot of stories with angels, you know. Yeah. Who, meaning first, that you're saying Rav Pinchas ben Yair first criticizes this guy and then ends up...
And then somehow it was his yukno that saved.
Right. But I think what happens is what when he hears about all the good things that this Chassid Echad used to do, he didn't realize. He thought it was just a guy. And his kid, you know, he's just unwilling to accept what happened. When he realized the details of it, that he had done all this work with water to help people have water, and then his daughter was killed with water, or apparently swept away by water, he changed sides. Instead of criticizing him, he really came out and supported him, and even the angel that saved the daughter was in his form. But yeah, it's a very interesting reversal by Rav Pinchas ben Yair in the Yerushalmi, and that's definitely not in the Bavli's version of the story, right? He's just davening straight and saving, more direct. Yeah. John, did you have a question or thought? No. I think there's two different ways of looking at this Yerushalmi in terms of what sort of the core of the story is. Because when we thought about, like, you could read the story in the Bavli the way Rashi takes it, the main character almost, maybe Bernie was getting at this, the main character in the Bavli's version of the story according to Rashi is Avram. You can think about it like everything from Avram's, you know, this is like one example in the life of Avram going around saving people whose descendants are in danger because of their father's righteous actions. But Avram really takes a central role. In this story, we really can see Rav Pinchas ben Yair playing the central role. Both, he has this change in his attitude. The Chassid Echad is almost non-existent, right? This person, we don't even know his name. He's not called Pinchas ben, he's not called Nechunya ben Akana here. And presumably he's not. It sounds like he's someone else. The previous story is about Nechunya ben Akana. He's not mentioned at all. The main character of the story is Rav Pinchas ben Yair, right? He's the one who shows up first as anti, then as pro. He's the one who the angel looks like him. Does that mean that he sort of sent his, like, Malach Patronus to save them? I don't know exactly how this works. Actually, a couple of the Achronim discussed this. Let's look at the Alei Tamar, who quotes a Kabbalistic source. But source 18 here. Is to Amri Malach Yar Bidmus Pinchas Ben Yar Itzilehu Besefer Zichron Elazar Al Shkolim Besofo Here Lenachon Rav Rim Haradner Al Hagos Mitzvah Esan Tainis Hevi B'Shem Sode Razi, whatever exactly Sefer that is. Shem Echad Nitzal B'Schus Chavero. If someone's saved in the merit of their fellow, as a Malach Shematzilo Nisroilo Bidmus Shall Also Adam Shnitzal B'Schuso. The person who saves you, the angel that saves you, will look like the person whose schus causes you to be saved. So I'm not a Kabbalist. I don't know the Sod Ruzi or anything like that. But it's clear from the story that the reason why she was saved was b'schus for Pinchas ben Yair. It seems like he did something.
Pinchas ben Yair just pointed out the z'chus of the Avel. It was the z'chus of the Avel. And that means...
Okay, so I think there's two different ways of understanding this. I think you're 100% right. What exactly is, in our story, in the Yerushalmi, or Pinchas ben Yair, in the Bavli, or Chanina Mendoza, what exactly are they doing? Are they theologians? Are they saying, look, I'm just saying machshava. The machshava, the hashkafa I know is that if you do all these good things, it's impossible for your descendants to be hurt. Right? And the same thing in our story, Bechina Mendoza, he said, she's shalom, shalom, she'll make it out, and then also, she must have gotten out. Why? Couldn't possibly be that she died. That would be ivos hadin. That would be injustice. And same thing with Christian. That's one way of reading it. It's just theology. They're saying theology, and the schus is the schus of the father, of Nechunya ben Akane, or whatever his name is in this story, the Chassid Echad. That's one way of reading it, that they're just doing theology. The other way of reading it is they're not doing theology, they're doing what they usually do. They're interceding, they're doing miracles, or whether through davening, and we know that Rav Chanina ben Dosa is a big davener, we'll see the Gemara about that in a minute, or through doing miracles bichlal. So this idea of sending your angel to save someone, yeah, that's what you do. You know, I mean, however exactly that works, I'm not up on the details, but if it's you, it's your schus, you're causing them to be saved, So the angel will look like you. You're the one who sent them. You asked Hashem to save them, so your Patronus will be sent in that way. So I think there's two different ways of understanding this. And the more you say it's about intercession and causing a miracle in davening by the tzaddik, Ruchini Mendoza or Pinchas Ben Yair, the more they're at the center of the story. I think the Yerushalmi Bichlal, it's really about Rav Pinchas Ben Yair more than anyone else. But the more you emphasize that they're interceding, not just teaching us hashkafa that happens, that Hashem worked out details, the more central that is. Okay, I saw a few hands. Yeah.
Is it different? I mean, in the first case, the Yerushalmi Yerushalmi Yerushalmi.
Mm-hmm.
In the second case, because of the Yerushalmi that the Tzidkos work.
What do you mean the first case and the second case?
The two ways of explaining it.
The two approaches?
Yeah.
I think the difference is this the sort of thing that would have happened anyway? If Rav Pinchas Ben Yair wasn't there, or if anybody else wasn't there, the hashkafa is the same, and the girl would have been saved either way. Or no, it's only because they were there and they dove into Hashem, or they did something, worked through whatever Derek Nase somehow, that caused her to be saved. And if they weren't there, she wouldn't have been saved. I think that's the big nafkamina. Yeah, Bernie. Doesn't sound like it. That in Yerushalmi, that's why there's the big boom. There's a boom, and then she's there. And then she's saved. That's after this whole thing happens.
No, she's swept away.
Yeah.
Now, the idea of being swept away means that the person drowned. That's something that...
Not immediately, though. But that's the three... That's in the Bavli, that's the 3 hours, right? Shah Rishona, Shalom. Shah Shnia, Shalom. Shah Shnia, Shalom. Also.
Okay.
Meaning it doesn't happen immediately.
The Bavli, I think, is less. But here, it seems that everybody's so sure that she's dead that he's sitting Shiva.
Mm-hmm. But then what's the boom? What's the Nafla Havara Be'ir? After he said this, after Pinchas Ben Yair says, it can't possibly be Miyad, Nafla Havara Be'ir. Right? It's after he said it, right when he says, this can't be that she's going to die if he did so much work with water to dry water, immediately there's a boom and she shows up. I don't know exactly. What does the Mefarish say on Havara? I put in... What does he say? Anything? I don't think he translates it. Havar means echo, a loud noise, something. It could be people are talking about it. That also could be what it means. That's possible also.
Tumult,
right.
Right.
To say it in Yiddish, yeah. Yeah, it could be. It could be. I think there are different ways of reading the Havara, but it sounds... definitely if you read Havara as meaning a loud boom, and if you read Besuksa Isaris, that she just woke up miraculously in a hut somewhere... as opposed to she grabbed onto a branch, right? The more it becomes this miracle out of nowhere, you know, against the Derech HaTeva, etc. That's at least one way of reading this story.
I mean, when you delve into the technicalities, the Kabbalistic technicalities of why an angel should look like somebody, I think the message is clear that this is an homage to, because of his intention, he should deserve some kind of credit.
Right. 100%, right? It's not a coincidence, right? I mean, there's a reason why the Gemara is telling us this. 100%. 100%. So that's one way of reading these stories, or really two ways, right? That there's something important about Rav Pinchas Ben Yair, Rav Pinchas Mendoza, whether that's that they're expert theologians who predicted what would happen, which maybe you can see more, a bit more in the Bavli, right? Notice the Bavli has more prediction. He says, okay, she's going to make it out. Shalom, she's going to make it out, she's going to make it out. Now she's out. That's more about prediction, whereas the Yerushalmi is more about intercession, like this immediate thing, this immediate boom. So those are the two approaches that really center Rav Pinchas Ben Yair and Rav Chanina Mendoza. And I think it's also possible to read this as much more, like you can read it as more or less miraculous. There's different, I think I mentioned that a second ago. Was she saved by grabbing onto a branch, or was she saved through some big boom? Or in the Bavli even, when you say she was saved by an old man and his ram, that just some guy who like had a walking stick and was able to pull her out? Or was that Avram Avinu? And that's more miraculous. I think there's different, you can read the story as a nes al derech hateva versus a nes not al derech hateva, something like that. Depending on what you want to emphasize. But also, as I mentioned, like Nechunya is much more of an important character in the Bavli's version of the story, and less, much more sidelined in the Yerushalmi's version of the story It's not even named Nechunya. And all we know about him is he's unwilling to accept Tanchumen, and the rest of the story plays out totally separately from him. Okay, let's get a little bit of information about our characters, especially if Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa is our central character. So let's look at source 19. This is a Mishnah. We'll start with the Mishnah in Brachos. And Hamispala Vita Simon Ralo, if you daven and you make a mistake with the words, that's a bad sign. Yosh Liach Tzibur, it's a bad sign for the whole shul. And then we have a story at the end of the first line in 19 here. Amru Alav al Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. They said Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, Shayim Ispala al Cholim, Ve'omer Zechai Vezem Mace. He would daven for the sick and he would say, he would predict, this one's going to live, this one's going to die. It's a little morbid, a little uncomfortable if you're told your relative is on the mace list, but okay. Amr lo minayin atayodea. How do you know this? How do you know who's going to live, who's going to die? Amr lehem imshkur tfilasi b'fi yodein ishu mekubal v'im lav yodein ishu mutoraf. If my davening comes out fluently, I know it's accepted. If I'm stuttering, I can't get out the words, then I know it's not accepted. So that's how I can predict what's going to happen. It's not because I can predict things, it's because of my ability to daven. I know how davening works. That is very interesting. I think literally, on a pshat level, meturaf means that the prayer, almost like a piece of paper, is ripped up. But I think there may very well be a secondary meaning, that it's like a play on words almost. It's almost they're ripped up. This is bracha. What do you mean?
The parallel to knowing when you're close, it's a separate from bracha. Knowing when you feel it's efficacious.
Mm-hmm.
How easily they...
Yeah, that this is... Yeah.
That's the same Gemara.
Yeah. I think that's that. This is the Gemara in Brachos. And now, it's the Mishnah even, and now we'll see the Gemara that brings in Nechunya again. So, give a little story. Tana Rabbanan, Maiser Shechal Benosh Rabbi Gamliel, Shagar Shein Zvechama, Yisrael Rabbi Chanina Mendoza. Rabbi Gamliel was sick. He sent two Zvechama to Rabbi Chanina Mendoza, Levach Shlav Rachman, to daven for him. Kevan Shira Osam, Alal Alio, Vik Shlav Rachman. As soon as he saw them coming, he ran up to the roof and davened, or the attic and davened. By the time they knock on the door, he's like, okay, you can go back. He's all good. He's better. So he preempted. Their request to daven. Amr lo v'chi navi ata. You a prophet? You know he got better? Amr lehen lo navi anochi v'lo ben navi anochi. Neither a prophet nor the son of a prophet. El kach mikublani. This is my tradition. Im shkur tfelas v'fi yodani shumakubal v'im lavi yishum mitorav. Right, if the prayer is, I say the prayer well, I know it's accepted. If not. Yashua Kasavu with Kivnu Ososha, fine, they wrote down the time, they checked when exactly got better, it was exactly the right time. Then another story about Chanina Mendoza, and someone got sick, and he davened for him, and he had a whole system for getting him better, and fine, he has a special way of davening to Hashem. Sorry?
What's cause and what's effect?
What's cause and what's effect? You're saying the davening is the cause, presumably, and that's how he knows if the davening seems to work.
Or the fact that he's able to daven clearly is indicative that Hashem has already decided to save the person, independent of his davening.
Right. Oh, that's your, yeah, yes, yes. I mean, I really hope that what he means is it's a simon, whether he can say the words is an indication of whether his tefillah is accepted, not that it determines it, because if it determined it, you'd hope he'd be a bit better at pronouncing the words correctly. That would be like, you know, criminal. You can just imagine what the gabbai corrections of his tefillah would be like at the equivalent shul he davened in. Yeah.
I think maybe what he means is a cynical way of looking at this. Is that the davening doesn't do anything. It's just an indicator of what God had in mind.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, if you were able to daven nicely, it means that the ready was determined.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like an indicator.
Uh-huh. But it does use the language of mikubal, right? Yeah. If I say it well, then it's accepted. Okay. It's accepted because it does sound. I think that's what the Gemara is saying.
That's the more, mishkafically proper way of looking at that.
I hear. Okay, yes.
I didn't want to go there, but that was my understanding actually of Yerushalmi.
Okay.
The idea that the Pincha said, it's not a chassid. Everybody responded, wait a minute, that's their version of tefillah.
Interesting. That he got them to daven. He was
right,
like,
right, right.
Uh-huh. Interesting. He was provoking them into tefillah, into a version of tefillah, or at least like a protest. How could this happen? Not that protest. Yeah, different. different protests, right? The best way to get Jews to come out and daven and sing and be together is to provoke them, right? That's, I think, the message of the story in many ways. Okay. Was there another hand that I saw? Bernie, did you have something? No. Okay. Good. So that's that. And just notice in source 19, the underlying piece. Lo navi anochi v'lo ben navi anochi elakach mikublani. And notice we have very similar in our Gemara when they said, oh, you're a navi. When he predicted she came back, he said, lo navi anochi v'lo ben navi anochi elakach amarti davar shav sotzadik mitzdar bo yikashal bo zaro.
Keep asking.
His theology. Right, right.
I think they know the answer.
Well, yeah, it could be. But I think the answer is he has knowledge of the future, never quite through prophecy, always through this tefillah thing or through this theology thing. But that this leads us, the parallel between the Gemara and Brachos and our Gemara, leads one to believe that what's going on in our Gemara is less about theology and more about intercession, more about tefillah, right? Because that's what he is. He's someone who knows how to daven, and through his knowledge of davening, he can predict the future, right? That's exactly the story in Brachos. So the same thing here. She's in trouble, and he knows from his tefillah somehow, he knows that she can't have died yet, she's going to get better. And he, you know, presumably, when he says, Kach amarti, davar she'oso tzadik mitztarbo, yikashal ozaro, this he was, took so many pains to dig these pits, his descendants should be hurt. When he says that, is he saying that to us? Is he teaching us hashkafa? Or maybe that's the tefillah, exactly. Maybe that's the tefillah to Hashem. Amarti, that's what I said to Hashem. And the tefillah worked. I knew the tefillah worked. So maybe that's what's going on. Again, this question before is, how much is it theology versus tefillah versus intercession? I think this is an indication, the parallel to Brachos is an indication that this is also about tefillah. Is there a hand? No? No. Yes.
Why did he use this argument to save his son? How come no one's praying for the son?
Okay, we're going to get to that. That's the next section. We have a bunch of Rishonim discuss the issue, the difference between the son and the daughter.
And then since when do we say that Shkar V'Onesh works like this?
Okay, okay, before we get to the son, let's talk about this for a minute. So one of the challenges in this Gemara, right, I think both the points you raised are somewhat related, that on the one hand, because of this strong theological principle or tefillah principle, the daughter is saved, but then the son dies. And so however you balance that out, it doesn't sound like, you know, if you're a tzaddik, everything's going to go well for you all the time. That also may check out with like the way we see reality, right? So things don't always work out exactly the way that you would hope they would, given who's a tzaddik and who's a rasha, as the Gemara points out in many places. So part of the question is, how do we understand this and the different lines in the Gemara, the different points? Well, Hashem is more strict with tzaddikim. Those who are close to Hashem, Hashem is more strict with them. So that is an answer to that problem, right? That is a sort of theodicy, an explanation of suffering. On the one hand, if you're a tzaddik, you get rewarded and bad things shouldn't happen to you, at least not through the same way. On the other hand, maybe you're closer to Hashem and he judges you more harshly. And then at the end of our Gemara, the last line of Erech HaPayim, so for both tzaddikim and Rishayim, so that means, we'll see exactly different approaches, but that seems to mean that justice is not always immediate. So that's a different theodicy, right? That sometimes, ultimately, by the end, maybe that ends even after the afterlife, people will get what they deserve, but not always in this world. So our Gemara has really three different approaches, right? The idea, Davarshin, Starbos, and Tzadik, Kashubo, Zara makes it sound like it could never happen. That you know, and everything should always seem to be perfectly aligned. The tzaddik is tovlo and the rishayim are ralo. And then the other approaches go in different directions. You're a bigger tzaddik, you're actually judged by a higher standard. And things aren't always immediate. That pulls in the opposite direction. So I think our Gemara has a few different approaches to Shkar V'Onesh, at least in terms of the way we experience it, the way we see it, precisely because of this challenge, right? Well, things don't always seem that way, so, you know, is this really our hashkafa? And there's a few different, it pulls in a few different directions. Yeah.
I mean, the son and the daughter are very different, like on a child level, especially if you say he dug the pit and she fell in the pit. So how could his handiwork hurt her?
Mm-hmm.
The water is much more oblique. I mean, he was involved in water, but it's not as if his handiwork,
mm-hmm.
Like, he died of lack of water, the son. Father provided water.
Mm-hmm,
there was not a direct effect.
So 100%, and actually that's what some of the Rishonim point out. So let's start with Tosfos. Nun Amid Aleph, and we'll look at a couple of approaches to son versus daughter. Why does the daughter save and the son died? So Davar Shenitzayir Bo, the Tosfos Nun Amid Aleph. V'im Tomer Akati Minale. How do we know this is true? That things that he did, his children shouldn't die. Hameis Bino Batzama. The next line in the Gemara says that his son died from thirst. V'yesh Lomar D'Mikol Makom Be'Osar Davar Atzmo Lohaya Royli Kashel. So I think that's very similar to the answer you gave. For that thing itself, the same exact thing, the pit, he dug pits, she died in a pit, or she almost died in a pit, especially if it's his own pit, that's the same exact thing. But water, that's more general, so that could happen, right? That wouldn't run afoul of Rabbi Chanina Mendoza's principle. Yeah?
Depending on that, the less direct, maybe you need a higher level of merit.
Mm. Right, so like a sliding scale, right? How direct it is that something you do good that you get punished with, and how much scar you accrue. That could also figure in. So on the
Right,
sliding scale. Yeah, the more you're a tzaddik, the more you have this, and the more direct it is, the more yeah. Could very well be. Let's on the sheet now. Other Rishonim. So we saw number 22. Number 21 may or may not be the same thing. This is the Tosfos in the parallel Gemara in Yevamos we saw last time. It raises the same question. Mikol makom lo havi davar shenitzar bo hatzadik shelo asa habor. So it's not exactly the same thing by the son because he didn't make the pit. But of course, the son didn't die in the pit. The son died from water. So is he saying the same answer as Tosfos? Well, the son died from water, and he made pits, and it's not the same thing. Or is he saying, maybe the implication here is with the daughter, he actually made that very pit. Maybe that's the implication of this Tosfos, and that's like a very, you know, there's a very close correlation. If you make the very item that this person, that your child is going to get hurt by, then they can't get hurt. But if you made a pit, and she got hit by a different, fell into a different pit, maybe that could happen. And 23, the Tosfos of Rush, he says, Shalom Meis Bebor. Right? The son didn't die in a pit. He was carried away by water. All three of those are in a similar direction, all from the Tosfos family. Sorry, did I say that? Yeah, son has thirst. The carried away by water is the daughter in the Yerushalmi. My bad. Yeah. Right, if he had started the boring company. Right, it could be, right? The difference between something you did can't backfire, but isn't enough, maybe that sort of thing could happen. I hear. Maybe that's even Chudasar, right? It could be, right? Had he dug more pits, the son might have been saved. I hear. Had he solved world hunger, then everyone would be better. It could be. So that's one approach to the difference, right? The difference between a pit itself versus water. That doesn't work so well according to the Yerushalmi. Notice the Yerushalmi says, first of all, it wasn't the pit. She was carried away by water. And the line that Rav Chanina Mendoza says in the Yerushalmi was, find the line, it's all about water. So, you know, that if you put the two stories together, as some do, not everyone, because it's not the same name in the Yerushalmi, then that wouldn't help you with the sun. This distinction wouldn't help you. But another, a different... hitting the water, yeah, and the dirt. Yeah, it's seasonal. I should have made more connections.
Moshe couldn't punish the water.
Right. Hakar Zat Tov. But maybe it's the same principle if it's from the perspective of...
the water.
If you put Moshe and Hashem in parallel, Kaviyachol, so Moshe wouldn't hit water because water had done good to him. Hashem wouldn't use...
Would punished,
right, the water would be, I guess...
Water doesn't want to be blood. The water wants to be water.
Right.
That's how I'm thinking. I don't know. Being blood is not good for water. I'm just making that up. But
Right.
To make a parallel.
Although it's thicker, but yeah. Right, right. Hakar stuff to the ground, throwing up the ashan. So it's an interesting tie-in. Last week we had tie-ins to Purim. We're already tying into Pesach. Good. Shloshim Yom. So, and source 24 here, the Shiari Karban, one of the Farshim on Shkalm, one of the Farshim on the Yerushalmi, has a different approach. And he raises the question, Mekasha, how did the son die? And he quotes Tosos's answer. And then the last line, or the last line in a bit, Aval Gabi Nechunya, Yada Kadosh Baruch Hu Shiyakaba Be'ava, V'yisla Yisrin Be'atzmo. Maybe the difference was, in the Yerushalmi, remember, there's two different people. Nechunya lost his son. This unnamed person had his daughter saved. So he says, maybe the difference is Nechunya, Hashem knew Nechunya would take it well. He would take it as, you know, okay, I need to do tshuva. He wouldn't take it the wrong way. But in the other story with this person, it was very difficult for him, as we saw in the story itself. He was unwilling to accept it. So maybe that's it. And I don't know, you know, I think it's not clear to me why the expectation is that you need to take these things well. It's not the sort of thing that would be easy to take well, or what does taking well even mean? But okay, that seems to be his approach. Fine. So in the Shita Mekubetzes in 25 ties in a little bit to what we said before. He mentions this idea of lo nichshol ba'osar davar mamish, similar to the Tosfos approach, but then he throws in towards the end of the first line, lo rabbeinu nira lefarish amarti. What does it mean amarti when he says amarti, davar shen nichshol ba'osar tzadik yikashav ozaro, davar shen itzar ba'osar tzadik yikashav ozaro. What does it mean amarti? I said that. Klomar, hishmati davar zeh lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I made Hashem hear this. The haim, davar shen itzar v'chulei. This is what I said to Hashem. The hiskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'dvarai. Hashem agreed to me, shekein darkash HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shemaskim asfarz ha-tzadikim. Right? So it's not that this is an objective theology. This is the hashkafa. This is the tefillah that I said to Hashem, and Hashem agreed. Because Hashem agrees to tzadikim when they say tefillos. So that's the other tefillah. But, ukishem meis b'no batzama, kfar meis Rabbi Chanina. What changed between the two stories? He wasn't there. It was the tzaddik's intercession that saved the daughter, and he wasn't there to save the son.
The daughter story happened first.
According to the Bavli. That's the Bavli. According to the Yerushalmi, it's the other way around, at least in the order they're presented. So that's what happened in the middle. Rechanina Mendoza died in the middle. That's the teretz of the Shita Mekubetzes. Yeah.
Not a connection to Abraham, although he wasn't successful with
Tfilah for Stone. You're saying Abraham doing Tfilos in general. Yeah, and I think the Marsha we saw before. I think the Marsha we saw last time emphasized the idea of Avram always being like a Melitz Yosher for Klal Yisrael. So along those lines, yeah. And jump ahead now to source 34. Don't worry, we'll go back. But another answer along similar lines by the Maram Milublin. What is this question? But he raises the possibility that it's just a difference in timing. The son, the daughter died, and then the son died. So everyone says, well, how could you say that this idea that it can't be that the daughter, that the child should be punished for the sin of the father, if that's true about the son, that hadn't happened yet. So how would he even know that? But maybe he already did know the hashkafa. But fine, he introduces this idea that the timing is a little different. Okay, we have a few more minutes, and fine. So we'll do one thing, and then we'll go ahead in the Gemara and catch the last mini sugya, another agadata before the Mishnah. But first let's look at this idea of the last of the drushos here, starting the last line of Nun and Aleph, Amram Chana, V'item Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Maidich Siv, Erech Apayim, Vlok Siv, Erech Ach. Why does it say Hashem is slow to anger, in plural, in the dual? Erech Apayim, right? Long noses, literally. It doesn't say Erech Ach, long nose, or slow to anger in the singular. It says slow to anger in the plural. Erech Apayim, Latzadikim, V'larishaim. God is slow to anger both for tzaddikim and rishaim. So what does that mean? Rashi says, La tzaddikim, milashalim schar tov la'altar. God doesn't reward tzaddikim right away. It takes some time. This, again, is a sort of theodicy. This can explain why tzaddik v'ralo, because they get their ultimate reward later. V'larishayim, Hashem, it is slow to anger for Hashem. Mili para mehen la'alter. God doesn't punish evildoers immediately. He gives them time. So that's erech apayim. So for tzaddikim, it means their reward is delayed. For Rishayim, it means their punishment is delayed. So much for Rashi. Tosfos, here, erech apayim, challenges this. Erech apayim atzikim Rishayim, be'osin pasin, that perek, mashma l'Rishayim ha'vida min ha'olam haba. So what does that mean? That means that the goal of this idea of being slow to punishing Rishayim, why is Hashem slow in punishing Rishayim? The goal is that they be punished more in Olam Haba, that they lose totally their Olam Haba. So that will be bad for them. Uvechelek mashma l'tova. The other place where this teaching appears, Mara Chelek, that implies that it's good for them that the punishment of Rishayim is pushed off. So what is it? Is it good for Rishayim or bad for Rishayim that their punishment is delayed? V'yesh lomar, kishe'ein sofo lasos tshuva hula ra'a, al v'sofo lasos tshuva hula tova. So this idea, it's like it cuts both ways, right? If you're a bad person, you get punished right away. Hashem is nice and gives you some time. And it actually works out. If you do tshuva, you won't get the punishment. So that worked out well. If you don't do tshuva, you'll get punished completely in the world to come. You'll lose your world to come. And as Rashi says elsewhere, there's an exchange rate between this world and the world to come, right? If you get rewarded in this world or punished in this world, it's less than the reward or punishment in the world to come. So if it gets all deferred to the world to come, it's actually worse for them. But that's okay because they didn't do tshuva, right? So that's this idea of deferring the punishment of Rishayim, either is good for them or bad for them, depending on whether they actually do tshuva. So that's a very interesting idea, theologically. Yeah, exactly, right? It compounds, I guess, something like that. I don't know how that plays out in the physical sense, but fine. A couple of quick notes, really interesting play on words, on a different drasha. We have the drasha of Usvivav Nisara Me'od. The Hashem is Medaktek Im Svivav Kechut Asara. Right, Nisara Me'od means like a big storm, very stormy around God. But the drasha is those who are close to Hashem. Hashem is bedakti kechud asara, such a thin thread. I saw two very interesting and creative interpretations of that drasha. Numbers 32 and 33. The Marsha says, "Sviva Nisara," towards the end of the first line in 32. The Gomer bedakti kim sviva kechud asara. Where does this come from? What's the logic here? Midichsiv nisara b'sin, or not really sin, b'shin. Usually a se'ara, a storm, is with a samach. Why is it spelled with a sin, with a shin? Darish la milashon sha'ar. It's like a sha'ar, an exchange rate. Okay, v'hainu, shemidate kimayen kidamrina d'mishayim tzadikim onesh al miyut averus ve'olam hazeh k'de lezakos osam sachar mishalem ve'olam haba. As we mentioned just a minute ago, right? The reward you get in this world is a fraction of the reward you get in the world to come. There's an exchange rate. I don't know what it is, 5-1, 10-1 of reward in this world versus reward in the world to come. Nisara me'od means your reward doesn't come in this world. Instead, the sha'ar, the rate, it goes up by that exchange rate and you receive it later in the world to come. And this, of course, connects between the nisara me'od of Hashem punishing those closest to Him with the idea of erech apayim, of deferred reward for the tzaddikim. This puts them in the same camp. Even though, as we said before, you could read them as different directions, this approach of the Marsha tries to unify them. And he quotes the Rashi, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Din b'tzaddikim, hu misyari, mus'ale, etc. But that's this idea. Nisara, from the language of sha'ar, an exchange rate, which is fascinating. And then the Toras Chaim has another interesting idea. He quotes the pasuk in Iyov, Vayan Hashem es Iyov minas se'ara. God responds to Iyov out of the whirlwind, right? Minasara, from the storm. And he wants to go in one direction. He was saying, I did everything right and I was punished. And he was complaining. And so he maybe needed to understand this drasha a little bit, right? That Hashem is bedakti kechud asara. But I think you can also pull it in the other direction. This idea of Vayan Hashem es Iyov minasara, Hashem responds to Iyov out of the whirlwind and says, I created the world, where were you? You're nothing, I'm Hashem. And that approach is basically that we can't understand Hashem's ways. So maybe that's being implied here. Usviva nisara me'od, not necessarily that Iyov needed to understand that drasha, although maybe that too, but that Hashem's ways are inscrutable. We can't always understand Hashem. Hashem says that minasara, where were you? You don't understand how this world works. So maybe that's part of the message as well. Okay, let's go ahead now in the Gemara. Let's get up to the Mishnah. And if we have time for a couple of final points, we'll do that. But one more story here at the top of Nun Amud Beis. Tan Rabbanan, rabbis learned, Lo yisakel adam mirishusa l'rishus harabim. A person shouldn't throw stones from their rishus, their field, to the public domain, to the street. Okay. Masav adam echad is a story of the person. Chayim yisakel mirishus l'rishus harabim. He's throwing rocks from his field into the street. Umitzao chasid echad, a righteous person saw him. Amarlo, Rika, empty person, mipnei ma'ata misakel mirishus she'ena shelcha, rishus shelcha, why are you throwing rocks from a field that's not yours into a field that's yours? That's not effective. You want to get stuff out of your field. Of course, the irony is, he thought he was taking rocks from his field and putting them into the street. This person says, you're throwing things from not your field into your field. Was this person crazy? Ligligalav, he laughed at him. You're confused. I'm throwing it from my field into the street. Liyamim, after some time, Nitzrach Limkor Sadeyu. He had to sell his field because he low on cash. Vayim Mahalik Post, which is a robin. He was walking by that street where he used to live. V'nichshal be'osan avanim. And he tripped on those rocks that he himself had thrown out. Amar Yafa Amar Li Oso Chasid. That Chasid said good. Right? He said, well, to me, Mipnei Ma'at, to Mesach, which is in Shelcha. I learned my lesson. I realize what's always going to be mine. What do I always have the right to? The street, the house I own. Hopefully, if everything goes well, I'll keep it. But there's no guarantees. And we should always preserve public property and not take advantage of it. Because you never know. Maybe you're going to need that public property. Right? I feel like there's good drusha for environmentalism for some if someone wants that. But that's this idea here. And never assume that, oh, I don't care about the street, the public good. I only care about what's mine. Because it's not necessarily what you think is yours is not always going to be yours necessarily. And what's only the public's is actually the thing that will always be yours. Let's just look at Rashi quickly. Lo yisakel lefanos avanim to clear out rocks. Mirshus she'enol shulcha. Shemata asa lemochra. Maybe you'll need to sell it. Mirshus shulcha. Mirshus harabim. Kol yamav ushalo. The street is always yours. You didn't understand, so he made fun of him, and this is the message. Just before we close, I want to try to tie this story to the stories that came before. The idea of Nechunya, or what he would do, of digging pits and being Moser L'Rabim, is to improve the public good, and the public, to create water, to create a well on the street for the public good. It is dangerous. It's complicated. You have to be moser properly to the tzibur, but ultimately you're doing something good, and the chunya is rewarded for that. Even though it's complicated, as we saw in the story, maybe part of the reason why his daughter was in danger is because what he did was dangerous, and that's reflected back. This story is the flip side, right? This is obviously someone who's not trying to help the public good. He's trying to destroy the public good. He's trying to destroy the street, throw rocks there to optimize his own position. And ironically, this is like the inverse almost of Nechunya. He himself trips on his own rocks. Notice the language that he was. Where's the line? Mahalik min nichshal beosan avanim. Right, that same line, that same word of nichshal. Davarshin tzarot tzadik yikashel bozaro. Here he was nichshal beosan avanim. It's a mida keneged mida. Again, just like in the previous case, a tzadik, someone who does something good, can't, or even their children can't be hurt through that thing, through that pit. Here, if you throw rocks into the street, guess what's going to happen? You'll trip on those very same rocks. So there's an inversion, there's a flip side here between this person is the foil. This is the anti-Nechunya, and that's why he's punished, and appropriately so. And the message should be to try to improve the public good, like Nechunya, and not destroy it like this person. Yes, Bernie. You think the chassid davened for him to lose his field? That's not so nice.
The chassid saw certain things.
Aha. Maybe. right? It could be he saw the future. I think you're right. There's two ways of reading this. This could be more of like a mishle, like a wisdom literature, like a, you know, a moral teaching. You never know what's yours, what's not. Or it could be that he had some sort of prophetic vision. Although I don't really see the prophet. I mean, maybe because it calls it not yours. Maybe because he saw in the future.
It did interact with God.
It doesn't sound like it's tefillah, right. But it might be a prediction.
It's the muster to the tochacha to the person.
Right.
Or else, if he could see the way the guy was doing the rocks, he said, this is not a guy who knows what he's doing stupid things, he's going to lose the field.
Right. That could be, I hear. He's not good with the rocks. Yeah, last question, a comment quickly, and then we'll close. It's always yours. You always have access to the Rishus HaRabim, just like everyone else. It's yours to some extent. That's this like riddle that this person said. The street's always yours. Your house isn't always yours. That's the irony. But yeah, of course, it doesn't mean that you own it more than anyone else, but you own it as much as anyone else. Tov, we should all be zoche to be mizake the rabim and to have the schus of doing so. We and our zera should always be protected from that.